The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. There is no person living today on this earth, and there never has been any person living on this earth. There's no one even in heaven, including the Blessed Mother, who fully and completely understands the depth and the breadth of God's love. It's impossible for human beings. Now, of course, those in heaven have a much better understanding than we do. But the fact remains that God's love is beyond anything we can truly comprehend, because we're not God. We're not the immortal God, the all-loving God, the God who didn't have to become a human being, but who did out of love for each of us. One writer puts it this way about our ability, or really I should say our inability, to understand the love of God. She says, "If we truly understood what we are celebrating whenever we celebrate the Mass or today's feast, we would be wearing crash helmets, we would have to have life preservers on, and we would be lashed to our pews." Isn't that interesting? If we even began to fully understand what God is doing for us, we'd have to be careful, because we're playing with fire. And so when we come before the Lord, we have this familiarity, especially for those of us who are cradle Catholics. This is my 67th Christmas. I've been through it every year. I know what the readings are, what it's all about. And yet I don't have a fully in-depth understanding of what's going on with the Lord. I do believe that he is God, he is our Savior, and he does these incredible things for us. But again, my ability to understand is limited. And yet I do believe. I have faith. I am committed to the Lord. I think that's why we're all here today. Because even in our limited ability to know God, we are committed. Because we just know, our hearts know, more than our brains, that there is something amazing going on. In the last few weeks, we've had stories from the Old Testament which foreshadow the New Testament. I mentioned on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception that in the Old Testament, the Hebrews, the Jews, built this gorgeous temple in Jerusalem as the earthly dwelling place of God. because they said he needed a fitting place on earth when he was with the people. Well, of course, that temple was destroyed. It was reconstructed just before Jesus' birth, and again, it was beautiful, and it was destroyed. And yes, God talked to his people from the temple, but then there was a big change that went on. We have a new temple in the New Testament who is Mary. Mary was the new temple of God. She conceived of the child and for 9 months was that living, obvious temple of the Lord. And another temple that God had when he was born was the stable. And his throne was a manger. And yet God, even though he was condescending, didn't say, "See what I'm doing for you, you stupid people?" No, he did it because he loves us. He cherishes us. He goes after us. He wants every single one of us to enter into a greater and greater relationship with him. And of course, as we know, as Catholics, that we, every one of us who has been baptized, has become a temple of the living God. God dwells within us, and especially when we receive the body and blood of Christ, we are living tabernacles, more precious than that metal tabernacle. We are living monstrances. When we walk out into the world, we are bearing Christ in our very beings. Do we realize that? There again, we need to take time and to start to think about that, to consider what that means. What are the responsibilities and obligations that go along with being a temple of God like that? But these feasts that we celebrate are not just pie in the sky and feasts that have nothing to do with us. They're always saying something about us. So the fact that God came to dwell on earth as a human being shows the depth of his love, that he would be willing to let go of his divinity and become a slave to each of us so that we could be saved. And that was his plan. He wants everyone to be saved, everyone. Doesn't mean he's going to force us to be saved, but he wants every single human being to be saved. So if we want to be faithful to God, we have to go forth and seek salvation for all people. And one of the ways that we draw closer to God is through thanksgiving, by being grateful to what God has done. That's a very human thing. So we can ask ourselves the question, am I grateful for God becoming a human being? Am I grateful for this feast? Am I grateful for God who suffered and died and rose from the dead so that I could one day share in his divinity for all eternity? And if I truly am grateful, then the grateful heart says, what more can I do, Lord, to thank you and praise you? And God says, you really want to praise me? You really want to thank me? Then go out into the world and tell other people about me. Don't keep it to yourself. If you are baptized, you belong to God. Totally belong to God. And therefore, we have to do what God tells us to do, which again is to go out and tell the good news of salvation, to say that Adam and Eve bungled it, the prophets, Moses, the judges couldn't change things, so God himself became a human being and took care of it all so that we don't have to live in doom and gloom, so that we don't have to be afraid of everything, so that we can go forth and tell people the story of salvation. So what better way to recommit ourselves to what God continues to do in our midst than by recommitting ourselves to telling the story? You know, not just say, yeah, okay, you know, I don't know how I can do it. You know how to do it. You can ask someone if they need prayer. It's a great way of telling the story because you're saying to them, there's a God who loves you. He's all powerful. He's listening to your prayer. Let's pray together. Or if you get into a conversation with someone, you could ask them, how'd you celebrate Christmas? What do you think about Christmas? What's it mean to you? How do you continue to celebrate the feast of the Nativity every single day? Or even maybe a better question, how do you give birth to Jesus Christ each and every day in your life? How do you give birth to Jesus Christ? Mary gave him physical birth and raised him, so he knew his religion. We can give birth to Christ too through our words and through our deeds. So we're called here to celebrate God, to praise Him, worship Him, to thank Him, and then to go forth and do what He tells us to do, to go forth and proclaim the good news to every creature. So I hope as we leave that we keep that in our mind, because if you look at the world today, and it doesn't mean it's far worse than any other time, but there's certainly huge problems. There's a lot of evil out there. We have been given the word of truth. We have been given the answer to so many questions, so many painful questions that people have. And if we keep it to ourselves, it's like not telling someone how they can be cured of cancer. So if we have that knowledge and we have that gratitude, we will go forth and proclaim the gospel in little ways and build up to bigger ways, so that we recognize that our life is really all about Jesus Christ and proclaiming His good news, not just on this day on Christmas, not just on the day of Easter, not on any particular day, but every single day. So as always, when we are dismissed, it's not just to go celebrate our own little ways of celebrating, but rather to be thinking, okay, once again, I've been reminded of who I am, who God is, what He calls me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out there and proclaim Jesus Christ, who is the King, the Savior of the world, in everything I do, so that other people can come to be grateful and, like us, proclaim the goodness of God every day of the year.